good morning and welcome to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here. It is a Wednesday morning with a whole lot to talk about. I'm going to get to the meeting between Prime Minister Mark Carney and U.S. President Donald Trump in a little bit because we carried that live yesterday morning. However, we didn't, by virtue of the fact that just the way it transpired, they were a little bit late getting going. We didn't get a chance to really get into open lines on that. So I am very interested in hearing from you on that. I said Monday, if Mark Carney comes back to Canada open-handed with nothing in his hand, it's not a success, it's a failure. And that looks like that's what's happening. I know Dominic LeBlanc has stayed back, continuing to negotiate on a deal. Maybe they do have something in the works, but I want to talk a little bit more about that, and I want to hear your opinion. But I'm not calling this trip to Washington a success. But where I want to go first is I want to talk about the guests that we had, Chris Barber and Tamara Leach, off the start of the show. To say I'm surprised at some of the texts that are coming in would be a lie. I'm not shocked. I expected we would get a number of texts on different sides of this issue. So on one side of it, we've got a number of people saying, why are you bringing these two people on the radio? They are criminals. They have been charged and convicted and now sentenced of a criminal offense. Not denying that. Charged with, convicted of mischief. Chris Barber also found guilty of an additional offense of counseling others to disobey a court order, and we saw the sentencing come down yesterday, an 18-month conditional sentence for their roles in the protest that, of course, blockaded downtown Ottawa for several weeks. Not disputing that. I saw there's a text on the line, someone saying, I would have expected more from a former chief of police. This is a national interest story. Doesn't change the fact, yeah, okay, they're criminals. And no, I'm not bringing on some guy who's charged with car theft unless, for some reason, that's a national interest story. We have talked about, we have followed this story from the beginning. This story is part of Canadian history, whatever side you fall on. And I'm not pushing you to fall on one side or the other. I know that you cannot block roadways, streets, public spaces like that without consequence. I know that. I saw it. So the fact that there was criminal charges coming out of this, I'm not shocked. I'm not surprised. These two, I mean, this is where this gets interesting because these two, through the court process, was proved they did their part to move their vehicles. Where they were found guilty was they were seen as leaders that had control of hundreds, if not thousands, of people that were there and could have, through their influence, prevented the blockade from continuing and the noise and all of those types of things. That's where they were found guilty. So I'm not arguing that they were found guilty of mischief, that they are criminals. Yes, we saw that play out when they were convicted in the spring. And now the sentencing is handed down. The other side of this is people are critical. Well, they're being made out as heroes. I'm not making them out as heroes. What I am interested in is understanding and thinking about how they reflect on this. And that's why we brought them on the program. Brought them on the program to get a sense of, would you do anything different? Now, someone who's on the supportive side of both Tamara Leach and Chris Barber said, shame on you, Evan, for asking them to apologize. I didn't ask them to apologize. If you listen back to the interview, I said, do you feel you have anything to apologize for? Which was a question they were asked in the scrum yesterday. And I don't think that's an offside question. They were found guilty of a criminal offense. And you just heard Tamara Leach say, yeah, we recognize that we disrupted people in Ottawa, whether it was their ability to get from point A to point B or people that were bothered by the noise. She talked about that. She admitted that. So I'm happy to hear your thoughts on the sentence. 18-month conditional sentence was handed down yesterday for their roles in the protest. Actually, Tamara Leach with the 6 months under a strict curfew after the 12 months of house arrest. That's for Chris Barber. Tamara Leach, a little bit less than that, giving consideration for time that she served already in jail in the lead up to this. We know she spent 49 days in jail. Also some community service hours in there. Do you think justice was served? Did the judge get this right in the sentence, knowing that there was an ask for 7 years for Tamara Leach, 8 years for Chris Barber, which is ridiculous. People have been charged with manslaughter in this country and not gotten that sentence. So you know that that was clearly the politics behind this, which the judge was very critical of. Very critical of, saying that those recommendations show political and social division over the pandemic and that it still persists. And she went on to say, the judge said, her courtroom has no place for politics. So clearly she looked at the facts of the case. She looked at the fact and she talked about the fact that both of these individuals have a lack of criminal record. Both of them made attempts to mitigate the protest footprint by negotiating with police. Both of them were courteous and cooperative through the whole process, including the whole court process. So the judge took all of that into consideration in handing down her sentence, which came down yesterday. Phone lines are open for you. Text lines are open for you. 1-877-332-8255. I would love to hear your thoughts. Let's start with Edwin in Regina. Edwin, how are you today? And what's on your mind today with the Tamara Leach, Chris Barber situation?
Well, I think they were railroaded. I think they should have been not charged whatsoever. I think the judge should have thrown it out. But where's the other people that were involved with this? You know, where's Justin Trudeau? Where's the cabinet? They illegally used the Emergency Act. How come they're not facing any charges? How come the politicians just walk away all the time?
So you'd like, you obviously, and you're not the first. I saw a couple of people on the text line suggesting that there should be some consequences for politicians. There is a separate process for that, but pretty big step, whether you agree with it or not, for politicians to be held accountable from a criminal standpoint in this situation, which I know I can already feel through the lines. People don't like that I just said that, but that's the reality of it. We've had lawyers on the program when we talked about this. We've had criminologists on the program that have talked specifically about this whole protest, the truckers convoy, the protest, the use of the Emergencies Act. Time and time again, you will get the experts saying, yeah, they were found to have contravened the Constitution. It was not a proper use of the Emergencies Act. But that won't translate to a criminal charge, much to the chagrin of many. 1-877-332-8255. As I go back to the text line this morning, I'm just looking at a couple of texts here. Here's a text. Randy says, it bothered me when you asked the guest if they felt they should apologize. They responded, who should they apologize to? In my view, Trudeau is the one who owes Canadians an apology after he is the one in that top position to sit and speak to the protesters, or at very least have one of his minions meet with them. So another typical and I would say consistent criticism that never once did you see government sit down, meet, have some sort of a, you know, you can do it. You don't have to do it out on the street. You don't have to do it in the Parliament building. You can have a neutral site, if you like, but there should have been that offer to sit down and chat. The other side of it, Mike in Saskatoon, this is the one where I said, expected more from a chief of police. So you're treating these two criminals like celebrities. What I am doing is I am continuing to try and find more specific understanding and details behind something that was a topic of conversation in our country and has been for the better part of 4 years. I won't make an apology for being topical. Sorry, but I won't. John in White City, I believe the judge basically said that our leader at the time was totally wrong and she had to give them something. They should have received nothing. Our prime minister was to blame for not meeting with them. Also, explain to me what is happening down east with the demonstrations. Why are they allowed to go on? Our government is stupid. John in White City. I mean, that's the thing, right? I asked the question, I think it was Chris that answered, you know, do you see this case shaping the boundaries of protest in Canada going forward? I mean, this is the frustrating part. is we are seeing protests. And right now, I'm going to point to the pro-Palestine, which often morph into pro-Hamas, anti-Israeli protests that are happening in Canada, where individuals are committing criminal offenses, where they are blocking, for example, the bridge in Montreal, and it didn't appear like anything happened. We didn't hear about people being charged. And again, I'm going to draw a difference between an individual who picks up a brick and throws a brick. Okay, yes, charge that person with mischief or assault or whatever the charge is. But what about the individuals that organized it? If we are going to hold Tamara Leach and Chris Barber accountable, because even though they cooperated personally, what the courts have said is they were responsible as leaders for the entire convoy movement, thus convicted of mischief. Why then don't we see this playing out to the same degree with other protests that happen in Canada? And there's lots of great examples over this past year for sure. I mean, God, yesterday they had to close down Concordia University, had to close it down because of protests. Now, they made a couple of arrests there, I will give you that. But again, to my knowledge, it was not for people that organized the event. It was for individuals and criminal acts that they committed, and that's always going to be the case. 1-877-332-8255. Okay, we need to get our texts and our phone lines sorted up. We got lots of people calling in. I'm going to take a break. We will come back. Ron in Regina, don't go away. I got Paul on the line as well. We'll get to you momentarily here. Open lines right till 10 o'clock this morning on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Texts, Frank, on the text line. The gloves are off this morning. I mean, people are ticked off at Trudeau. They're ticked off at government. They're ticked off at Chris and Tamara, who we just had on, Tamara Leach and Chris Barber. They're ticked off at me. And that's what open phones is all about. 1-877-332-8255. Let's go back to the phone lines. I got Ron in Regina. Thanks for calling in, Ron. What do you think? What's your take on this situation now that sentencing has happened and we can look back on what has unraveled here in the last 3.5 years?
I followed a lot of it, as a lot of us did. And the part that really strikes me, there's two issues here. I hated Justin Trudeau and his policies, a lot of them the same as everybody else, and was a lifelong conservative. But COVID was a health crisis. We didn't know what we were dealing with. We couldn't just leave it and guess and maybe 100,000 people in a community die in 3 months. So we had to do what we had to do. And the politicians turned it into a political game of what team are you on. And to call it a freedom convoy, I call it freedom to maybe kill your neighbor. There's people that died because of virus being transmitted by other people who refuse to wear a mask in public places. And to me, that is negligence causing death. So I think 18 months of house arrest is pretty damn light. And I think the judges missed the boat, because when Pat King got his 100 hours of community service, it should have been in a hospital as an orderly pushing around people in the COVID wing to open his damn eyes to see what their actions caused.
1-877-332-8255. We'll stay on the phone lines. I'm going to go to Ken in Saskatoon next. Welcome to the conversation, Ken. Your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is that previous caller, he's been brainwashed. He needs to be taking a look at a lot of the stuff that has come out since they have investigated, especially in the United States, about things with COVID. But let's get back to this topic. Is that... I've got 2 points. One of which is this logic would also mean that if your kids are committing crimes repeatedly, well, why aren't you responsible? You're the one that brought them up. You're the one that supervises them. You got a lot more supposedly control over your kids than these people had over the convoy. So you can't have one and not the other. My second point is just the fact that policing in Canada and Saskatchewan has become increasingly politicized, because it starts at the police level, not just the what you're going to be charging. If you think back to COVID, when George Floyd happened, that was in June of 2020, when you had these health orders that were incredibly strict, and yet no arrests were made for all the thousands of people that went out and demonstrated. But then the people who demonstrated later on, a year and a half later, against their own, for their own civil rights, were being arrested all over the place and fined. So, you know, the whole thing is that our police system, our justice system, has been so askew that things like this shouldn't become a surprise to anyone.
I'm going to jump in, Ken, because I was just having the conversation this morning in the hallway here about police and how they use discretion is definitely 100% part of the problem, part of this conversation. You know, could the Ottawa Police Service have handled the initial days of that differently in a way that provided, whether it's some order to it or some clear boundaries to it, whatever the case may be. Same said for whether it's Montreal police, when there is a protest on a bridge in Montreal, supporting Palestine, but also throwing out slogans that have been seen to be anti-Semitic, from the river to the sea, those types of things. And Montreal police allow it to happen, allow it to block traffic during morning rush hour for 2 hours. So, you know, Ken's point is well taken that there is, I mean, it's an entire justice system, but my frustrations when I say, if this is the rules that we're playing by, if this is what we played by in Ottawa during the Freedom Convoy, during the Truckers Convoy, the protest, then we should be playing by those rules everywhere. However, the way discretion rolls out, the way police will follow through, often can differ between communities as well. And again, I'm going to go back to, will this change the boundaries? Will this set a precedent? Yet to be seen. 1-877-332-8255. The text line here with a number of texts on the line. Lots of people just wanting to give their thoughts and their support or their frustration with this topic. Myrna in Saskatoon said, I think 6 months house arrest would have been more appropriate. Their sentences seem to be too much. Nicole in Moose Jaw said, I appreciate them being on the show. The Tamara Leach and Chris Barber trial was a show trial. Those two were exercising their rights, standing up for our rights. She goes on to talk about we need people that can do some critical thinking going forward. So, Nicole and Moose Jaw, thank you for that text. Lots of support. Lots of people saying I view these two as heroes, leaders in our country. And I'm guessing that will continue to be the case where those that were supporting the efforts that they were taking on during this convoy will continue to take that point of view. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll get more on this, but I also want to dig into, did Carney fail? Did Mark Carney fail in his attempt to move the needle when it comes to tariffs overall or tariffs on specific sectors? That conversation still to come before 10 here on 980 CJME and 650 CKO.
Great Prime Minister. I mean, he could represent me anytime. I will tell you, you know, I'm not saying that. No, he is a very strong, very good leader. He's a nice man, but he could be nasty. He could be very nasty. Maybe as nasty as anybody. I think I can tell you this because I deal with lots of leaders all over the world. He's a world-class leader. He's a good man. He does a great job, and he's a tough negotiator.
So then what's holding things up? If he's a great man and you want to do a deal with Canada, why aren't you?
Because I want to be a great man, too.
That clip that we just played was how the Oval Office media scrum ended yesterday. And I felt like it was like Trump was doing a stand-up routine at the end. He ends with that line. People laugh. And he's like, thanks for coming out, folks. Thanks. He's kind of waving at them as they call it a day. So interesting. The Prime Minister Mark Carney, President Donald Trump meeting yesterday yielded nothing. At least we're not being told that it yielded anything. Mark Carney on his way back to Canada today, empty-handed. I said it on Monday. If he comes back with nothing If after that meeting yesterday, there isn't a news conference announcing some concessions on sectoral tariffs or overall steps towards a negotiated deal, if there isn't some sort of positive announcement, it's a failure. And I'm standing by that. We needed to see something yesterday, and we didn't. Now, obviously, we learn more as we listen to the conversation that the two of them had. And I did find it interesting. I really felt like during that conversation yesterday, which we played live here on this radio station, during that conversation, we got some insight from Donald Trump because he was asked a question. You know, you've been able to negotiate, President Trump. You've been able to negotiate deals with some countries. Why not Canada? And he really drew the distinction, didn't he? He said, you know, Canada, number one, from a geography standpoint, is right there. We're attached at the hip. He didn't use those words, but essentially we are. We have this long border. We're connected. We are interdependent on one another, and we're both trying to do the same things. So that creates conflict. They want to build cars. We want to build cars. They want to sell steel. We want to sell steel. He talked about it, and I thought, you know, for once, that sounded like a pretty true, honest answer. That clearly is at the heart of what we're talking about. And, you know, as you heard, and we've played the clips here, he was fairly effusive in his praise for Mark Carney. Lots of people critical that Mark Carney, you know, didn't talk very much. Well, he wasn't really given a lot of an opportunity. And you saw in that newscast or in that Oval Office meeting, you saw Donald Trump get quite angry and quite vicious about, for example, leaders in Chicago and what they're doing or not doing with crime. So he still had that ability to get vicious, but he didn't talk bad about Carney. In fact, he hinted at the fact that, you know, we're going to get to a place where Canadians are going to love us again. That was part of the conversation. In fact, when he was asked, you know, what do you think about the fact that less and less Canadians are traveling to the United States, this is what President Trump had to say.
Look, I understand that, and Americans don't want to buy cars that are made in Canada, you know? I mean, we have the same conflict. So there isn't, it's something that will get worked out. There's still great love between the two countries, but, you know, American people want product here. They want to make it here. Detroit was emptied out and moved to Canada, moved to Mexico, moved to other places, not just Canada. And now they're all moving back, you know, they're moving back.
Did you expect Carney to come back with something in his hand? 1-877-332-8255. Let's go to the phone line. I've got Paul calling from the United States, from Connecticut. Paul, how are you today? What's your take on that meeting yesterday?
You call it a meeting. It was Carney having tea with Trump, and Trump was off the rails. Of course, the real lunch happened before the 30-minute pomp and circumstance with all that gilding in the background. You know what Mark Twain said about the Gilded Age. It was all just window dressing. So I disagree with you a lot, Evan, on Carney came back with nothing. It was because of the previous agreements under Trudeau, and correct me, please, that saw a lot of these tariff products and services go away because of the previous agreement.
So you're talking about the CUSMA agreement?
Yeah, well, yeah. The International yeah. Trade Agreement, Mexico,
yeah.
Canada,
yeah. North
US,
American,
for
yeah.
the most part.
Yep.
So the thing is, though, the point is that he held his ground. It was the work that he did on the lead up to the election, and it was the solidarity of the Canadians in putting pressure on the administration, Trump administration, in that, and this wasn't said, of course, and the media down here is terrible, but it wasn't said that about the impact of the people that are withholding their visits to the states. So on that regard, you know, he did win. He held his own. The party that he represents was the party that did these deals. The lowest of all the countries, and remember, Trump had all these lists of the countries. Canada comes out at the bottom as far as the lowest, one of the lowest tariffs, which should be a win all around.
But we had nothing, though, Paul. Don't forget, we had nothing before Donald Trump. So are we calling it a win because we've got the lowest?
Well, and you say we had nothing except for our dear leader. Now, you know, you're falling into the camp of apologetics. You know, we in America look for other opportunities to dispute this guy in the White House because of his draconian, violent rhetoric and action by feds. This is a geriatric movement, protest movement, and they're being depicted as terrorists so they could beat them to the ground.
Okay, so I feel like we're getting a little bit off topic. I mean, ultimately, what I'm asking is, was this trip a success? Did we achieve anything? Did we move the needle? Did we come home with something, even though we can't see it? There's not an agreement with a red ribbon on it in Mark Carney's hand right now. Are we coming home with something? I don't know if you saw the John Iveson article in the National Post, but man, I found it quite funny. It's an interesting take on Carney's strategy. So he starts off, John Iveson starts off by saying, the Trump show is filmed in front of a live studio audience in the Oval Office. It stars Donald Trump playing himself as the president of the United States as he veers between good-natured benevolence and dark malevolence. Sorry, malevolence. So basically what he's saying is what we saw yesterday was Mark Carney playing the role of sidekick, essentially. He said the current prime minister, Mark Carney, is more to his taste, a Smithers to his Burns, a Watson to his Holmes, a Piglet to his Pooh Bear. And I mean, by the end of the article, John Iveson is saying, maybe this is the strategy. Maybe Mark Carney is going to come out looking like a genius by putting his elbows down and basically finding that the best way to deal with the Donald Trump administration may not be elbows up, but a different way. A performance as Trump's sidekick. So an interesting article from John Iveson on that. What's your take? 1-877-332-8255. A couple of people on the text line saying this trip was a huge fail. Mark Carney's Washington trip, a huge fail. Tom and Dundurn. As I predicted yesterday, Trump has him backed into a corner. Why would Donald Trump give him any concessions? I can hardly wait to hear Polyev go after him in Parliament. Now, Bobby in Saskatoon said our prime minister has been put into an impossible position. No matter our political preference, we have to support him. He's trying to save our country from a monster. Resist, do not in any way, shape, or form support the American government. This, by the way, is Bobby, who, if you listen to the show regularly, you'll know she lived in the United States, now lives here, and refuses to call Trump anything other than trash on her text, and is almost on a daily basis encouraging me to do the same thing. Evan, nobody in Canada should be putting the blame on Trump for our mess. Us Canadians need to take a long look at what our government has done to us in the last 10 years. Garth in Regina says, as far as I'm concerned, this has nothing to do with Donald Trump. Okay, let's take a break. We will come back and we will clean up some calls and texts here on what has been a vibrant and great discussion on Open Lines today. You're listening to 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.
I can tell you this because I deal with lots of leaders all over the world. He's a world-class leader. He's a man that knows what he wants. I'm not surprised to see that he won the election and won it substantially, and I would think he's more popular now. He's a good man. He does a great job, and he's a tough negotiator.
I'm beginning to feel like I started the fire this morning. People not happy with the, you know, how dare you bring Chris Barber and Tamara Leach on. Then I suggest Mark Carney coming home empty-handed is a fail. There's some people, I mean, the gloves are off this morning. People not happy. That's okay. Open lines here to hear from you. 1-877-332-8255. I mean, I guess the question is, are we better off after yesterday's meeting between Carney and Trump. James in Regina, what do you think?
Hey, sir. Good show as always. I don't think we're better off in any way, shape, or form. Carney keeps talking about, and, you know, Canada, we've got so many opportunities, but opportunities about that you never do. He keeps on talking about the EU and thinking that, you know, we're going to somehow do a deal with the EU and it's going to replace the U.S. It would take 28 EU deals to make up for one U.S. deal. They are our largest trading partner by exponential numbers. You want to model us off after the EU? Look at the highest utility rates in the world. Denmark, Germany. Do we want to pay $500 a month for heating our homes? Because we're well on our way.
Do I know what rhetorical means? Yes, I do. And you're right, James. We don't want some of those influences, that's for sure. And, you know, most people, we've had Premier Mo on this show saying we don't want to end our relationship with the United States. We shouldn't want to end it. Yeah, we're in a bit of a rocky patch right now. But boy, for many reasons, it makes sense that they are our number one trading partner. I still feel like we should have seen some sort of, there should have been a news conference after the meeting yesterday, like Mark Carney did the first time. Remember, he stood on top of, I don't even know where the building was, but you could see the Washington in the background and he took reporters' questions. He should have done that yesterday and should have been able to give some information of positive forward movement. Cal and Oxbow, your take on the meeting between Mark Carney and Donald Trump.
Well, if you give me 1 minute, I'll come to that in a second. I just wanted to go back to your earlier callers about the protesters. And,
sure.
And they, some people were certainly upset. And all that demonstrates to me, Evan, is that there's lots of Canadians that don't actually understand what free speech is. And then you can disagree with the truckers' protest all you want. However, that being said, you can't deny that who gets charged, who gets convicted on protesting in Canada is completely political. Because like you said, Montreal city burns, bridges are closed off, and those people are not charged and or convicted. So it's certainly a totally political thing. Now, if I go to Trump, it's definitely a fail, Evan. And this is so funny. So I love the clip you're playing where he's praising Carney and saying he's such a wonderful person. But we do know the U.S. ambassador continues to pound on supply management. And if you look at another clip that's played, is he really goes after this idea that open borders of the former president, which is a shot at Canada with our borders. And he also discusses the waste of money with windmills, which is another shot at Canada with our green energy zealot that he is. And so it's funny, I don't think that that's exactly what's going on behind closed doors, all that praising.
Well, I mean, he did step into it. He didn't obviously take hard swipes at him, but it was interesting because Donald Trump, I think, more effusive in his praise for the south border. He made a point of saying zero people, if you can believe it, are coming through the south border, but didn't talk, but you know, did acknowledge that Canada has made some progress there. And look, I want our leader to be able to get along with the leader of our biggest trading partner. So I'm not upset that it appears that those two do get along. I think that's good for us. I don't think that's a bad thing. I do think, though, that this is still a number of steps away from getting there. And, you know, the supply management thing that Cal brings up is an important and interesting one. Will a final deal, if we can envision what the final end game here is, and we renegotiate CUSMA, or maybe it's a brand new agreement with a new name, that wouldn't surprise me either, will supply management still be standing in Canada? My bet is that there is no political will of this government to change it. I don't even know if there would be political will of a conservative government to change it, if I'm being honest, because we've seen this as a very divisive issue in years past as well. But I'm not so sure we're going to see it changed, which also means I'm not so sure that we're going to see a final deal that is obviously tariff-free. There may be some exemptions, and we may be able to get to a place that we can all live with, but definitely that's a sticking point. Cal, appreciate you bringing it up. Okay, well, this has been great. I apologize. Today is one of those days where there's no way we could get to everybody. The text line was busy. The phone line was busy. I've recorded and got a bunch of the texts here, so I will try, if I have opportunities throughout the show, to throw those out and talk about that. But where I want to go next is farmland. We've talked about farmland, the importance of farm prices, and the fact that there's some frustration with foreign ownership. I've got a University of Regina professor in the Department of Sociology and Social Studies here to talk about farmland, the costs of farmland, the implications that it's having here in Canada when we come back. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.